is Jenna Walker from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from a reissue of a special edition, Retirement Guide, How to Do It Right. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Again, that number is 919-781-1973. So today's special edition seems to be a reprint from 2021. The first article I'll be reading is The Ultimate Guide to a Phased Retirement. This is by Mia Taylor. What is it anyway? Is it for me? Experts weigh in on the pros and cons. If you haven't yet heard the term phased retirement, don't worry, you're not alone. It's still a relatively under-the-radar concept in the retirement world. According to the Journal Society for Human Resource Management, about a third of U.S. workers ages 61 to 66 say they plan to take some sort of phased approach to retirement. Meanwhile, a share of organizations offering select employees a phased retirement approach on an informal basis has risen in recent years, reaching 15% among employers that responded to a 2019 Society of Human Resource Management survey. The rollout of more formal phased retirement programs, which are broadly available to all employees, has stalled at around 6%. So what is this phased retirement exactly? It's an approach that allows older employees to reduce work hours gradually rather than departing suddenly from the workforce. The program includes initiating a partial drawdown of retirement funds from defined contribution or defined benefit retirement plans, and include continued employer-sponsored health coverage until they fully leave the workforce. If all this sounds intriguing, here are a few more insider tips about phased retirement and its potential pros and cons. Practice makes perfect. Retirement is one of the biggest life transitions we will ever make. And whether we're talking about playing a sport, or running a business, or basic life skills, humans perform better and achieve more successful outcomes when they've had the opportunity to practice. Phased retirement allows the retirement experience to be practiced, says Eric Ross, a certified financial planner with Cincinnati-based Madison Wealth Management. During this practice period, one can begin doing the things they think they'll like to do in retirement. If practice goes well, then they have a green light to move to full retirement, or possibly to continue in the phased approach. If that's working for you, the key is that it's important to be intentional about your practice. This can be accomplished by identifying ways in which you plan to spend your time during retirement. For example, you may anticipate spending more time with your children and grandchildren. You may discover this works well for you, or you may discover that it can be too much of a good thing, says Ross. Or your idea of spending more time together doesn't match what your children consider to be an ideal amount of time spent together. It can help them minimize the use of retirement funds. Depending on how long you stretch out your retirement, your approach can help take some of the stress off your nest egg, says Brian Niska, certified financial planner and senior wealth advisor for Capstone Financial Advisors. Once the income generated from a professional position stops, there's a natural tendency to apply more attention and pressure to a retiree's other sources of income that will support them in retirement, such as a pension or an investment portfolio. A gradual reduction in earned income allows the retiree to minimize the pressure that would otherwise be put on their portfolio or other outside retirement income sources. Mental health. Having a continued outside source of income can help reduce some of the anxiety or stress associated with making such a monumental life change. Many people tie a lot of their self-worth and identity to their career and productivity. If you've had a career for decades, it can be difficult to differentiate your work self from your home self, and retirement can be a jarring change, says Jeffrey Show, CEO of Fig Loans. Losing that identity can trigger depression, anxiety, a sense of loss in retirees. Phasing retirement can help you adjust to a schedule that are less and less rigorous and workloads that diminish over a period of time. This way, you can acclimate your retirement lifestyle rather than jump in head first. Succession planning. Though this may be less concern to you as the employee, phase retirement can also be helpful to your employer. With traditional retirement, someone picks up where the routine left off and potentially months of catch-up to get back up to speed, says Show. With phase retirement, future retirees can prepare someone for their position. The employers can support that preparation with training and mentorship. By the time an employee announces he or she is fully ready to retire, it's often too late to begin a useful knowledge transfer. If it hasn't been underway already, many forward-looking organizations understand, which is why they're often the leaders in the phase retirement space. Potential reduction of Social Security benefits. While there are many obvious upsides to a phased approach, you'll want to be mindful of drawbacks as well. For instance, a phased retirement strategy can cause an unintentional reduction in your Social Security benefits, says NISCA. Anyone who is eligible for Social Security has a defined full retirement age based on their date of birth. If Social Security benefits are elected to begin before full retirement age, the income still being generated, the benefits received from Social Security could be reduced. The reduction that applies to those who claim benefits prior to their full retirement age can be quite significant, adds NISCA. As much as $1 for every $2 earned over the Social Security earnings limit. In 2021, that limit is $18,960. So anyone who's considering claiming their Social Security while still working and who has not yet reached their full retirement age should be mindful of this potential implication. Not everyone's a fan. At least some financial advisors remain skeptical of the incremental path. Ray Chitterelli, founder of Generations Insurance and Financial Service in Cadillac, Michigan, says phased retirement could exacerbate an existing crisis of American people not being financially prepared for life after work. People have been underestimating their retirement needs for years. Phased retirement options likely include some form of early access to retirement benefits that may dwindle a retiree's overall pool of retirement benefits, says Chitterelli. Couples with the possibility of receiving a reduced regular income at an earlier date than planned, phased retirement could lead to the need to access retirement savings earlier than planned. This brand of semi-retirement will simply be insufficient to meet the needs of some prospective retirees in the long term. On the fence, talk to a professional. Opting to take a phased retirement can have a dramatic impact on someone's overall retirement funds and game plan, and can be especially tricky for someone who has a carefully constructed retirement budget. Before jumping on board with this approach, it's best to crunch the numbers with a professional. Plan everything out with an advisor who can assess a phased retirement plan option, help decide whether you're a good candidate for this type of program, suggests Chitterelli. A financial professional can provide an estimated outlook on the potential financial impact and even make recommendations for alternative measures if necessary. And remember, even when taking a phased retirement approach, there's a good chance you'll live a long life in full retirement, and you'll need your savings to last. Saving enough to make work optional or allowing for part-time work at potentially lower pay requires advanced planning, says Rob Williams, Vice President of Retirement and Financial Planning for Charles Schwab. Saving enough, accounting for health care costs, and thinking ahead about how you spend your retirement are critical. For our next article, retirement accounts you should know. Understanding the difference between two types of 401k plans and three types of individual retirement accounts, by Kate Rockwood. What's a 401k? This employer-sponsored plan has a high contribution limit. In 2022, it's $20,500. So you can streamline your savings in one account, contribute pre-tax income, which may lower your tax bill this year, then pay taxes on the funds when you withdraw them during retirement, says Kathy Duras, a certified public accountant and CEO of Brightwater Financial in Chicago. What's a Roth 401k? Some employers also give you access to a Roth 401k, which you may use instead of or in combination with a traditional 401k. This account requires you to pay taxes on the money as you put it in. But then when you go to make the withdrawals, tax-free during retirement. That may mean you get a bigger tax bill now than if you opt for a traditional 401k, but the trade-off could be more money in retirement. The combined contribution of the Roth and traditional 401k cannot exceed $20,500, unless you're over 50, in which case you can contribute an additional $6,500 each year. What's an individual retirement account? IRA? Like a 401k, an IRA lets you make tax-deductible investments, which help you lower your next tax bill. Deductions are limited based on how much and whether you're contributing to an employer-sponsored plan, says Duras. You can put in $6,000 a year before 50 and $7,000 a year if you're 50 or older. It's a good option for those that are maxing out in employer plans or wishing to consolidate older plans. What's a Roth IRA? The Roth IRA is available to single filers earning less than $139,000 per year and joint filers earning less than $206,000. As with the Roth 401k, you fork over tax on contribution and then withdraw tax-free during retirement. A Roth IRA can make a lot of sense when you're in your 20s and 30s, says Andrea Coombs, financial coach in San Francisco, because in the early years of your career, you're likely in a lower tax bracket than you will be later. Avoid Roth plans if you're expecting your income to drop. What is a simplified employee pension plan? SEP IRA. SEP, set up by an employer or a self-employed person, are meant to encourage retirement benefits for businesses that may not otherwise be offered. They have lower admin costs and higher contribution limits than a standard IRA. Our next article, Track Down Your Old 401ks Now, by Rory Evans. It's 2021. Do you know where your retirement accounts are? Let this be the year you find those funds. When putting winter jackets in deep storage for the season, I'm the person who doesn't bother to clean out the pockets. I just want the cold weather over and done with, out of sight completely, which is why come fall, I experience a bonanza of found money, a handful of singles here in my puffer, a few rumply fives and tens put in my Adirondack, and ka-ching, usually a crisp 20 or two in a Napoleon pocket of my wool coat. For too long, my retirement planning resembled my off-season coat storage. In my 20s and 30s, as I played a busy game of career hopscotch, not entirely uncommon in my field, I dutifully plunked a few thousand into my employer-sponsored 401k plans. And every few years when I got a new job, I put the old job in deep storage without getting the money out of the pockets. Unlike coats, though, which come out again half a year later, my various 401ks just sat there for decades. Some of the plans predated online banking, and locating the account numbers always seemed like such a high hurdle. Phone calls would be involved, as well as endless hold times listening to synthesized light rock. But when I did the quick calculus, if I withstood a few hours of frustration now and tracked down the old funds, I could get all my assets into a retirement account at my bank and let the compound interest start racking up. In the same spot, on the same statement, behind the same password. As it happens, I'm hardly the only person to leave money in various old accounts. In the past decade, 25 million Americans, 43% of Gen Xers and 35% of millennials, have lost access to retirement accounts by changing jobs. It's like leaving your money with someone you divorced from, says Zanalia Harris, a certified financial planner and the president of Harris & Harris Wealth Management. Granted, with a 401k, the money's still yours, and the fee-free total amount still gains interest, but don't have easy access, and you're not adding to its total. If you're being lazy by not hunting down the money, at least I wasn't being totally irresponsible. Had I not taken money out as soon as I left the old jobs, then spent it, or simply put in a savings account, I would have been hit with a huge tax penalty. To avoid owing money to Uncle Sam, you have three options. Leave the funds in the account, move them to a 401k at your new job, or roll them into an IRA at another financial institution, Harris says. Trust me, unless you speak fluent investmentese, you want a financial advisor for this drawer. Since I was moving all the funds into an IRA at my long-term bank, I got help from a financial advisor there, whose name is Vanita. But you can also hire an independent and unbiased advisor and pay an hourly rate, a flat fee, an asset-based fee, or a retainer fee, Harris says. The process started, as I had feared, with picking up the phone, calling HR departments at old jobs, finding out which firms had my money. You can also check the National Registry of Unclaimed Retirement Benefits at unclaimedretirementbenefits.com. Then the fun kicked in. After I conferenced in Vanita, I called the various firms, Hello Fidelity, Hello T. Rowe Price, armed and ready to verify my identity and request a check. Whenever the service representative asked me something I didn't know, Vanita stepped in and did the translating. The account closing checks were made payable to the mutual fund I deposit them into, care of me. When I expressed my disbelief that this process actually involves snail mail and paper checks, did we just send civilians into space? And my fear that porch pirates would abscond with my retirement, Vanita pushed to get the check sent with the tracking number. 1 hour on the phone and two business days later, I was in the possession of a handful of checks that did indeed add up to almost $10,000. I then needed to bring that money to the bank to deposit into my IRA because I was this far in and didn't want to take another chance on the mail or pay for overnight shipping. I chose to hand over the checks to Vanita. I'll give you exactly one guess where I kept them on my way to the bank, in my jacket pocket. The next article is called How to Make Your Money Last Through Retirement, Live Long and Prosper by Kristen Grill. In a perfect world, we would all work for 30 years, retire with full confidence that our investment and retirement planning could support us at our current lifestyle until the day we die. In reality, planning for retirement isn't that simple. The work doesn't end the day you decide to stop working your full-time job. Making your money last in retirement is as important as investing and saving for retirement. And approaching this in the right manner requires balancing a mix of financial strategies and emotional behavior in the name of ensuring your money is not wasted. Here, some retirement planning experts weigh in on how to stretch your nest egg without feeling stressed about your budget in retirement. Be realistic about your lifespan. Terry Savage, a nationally syndicated financial columnist and author of The Savage Truth on Money, says the first step in budgeting for the rest of your life starts with estimating your lifespan. She suggests taking an online quiz to start. Many will factor in your medical history and everything from exercise and smoking habits to your daily diet in order to guess what your age you might live to. You might find that you get a number like 96, she says. You think you're above average in everything else, so why not think about that possibility too? It would, of course, be easier to plan if you knew how long you were going to live. If you're not ready to retire, Savage says, the key idea is to save money and start saving early to prepare for the possibility that you will live as many as 30-plus years after the day you retire. In that case, the money you're investing now for retirement, beginning in 20-plus years, won't stretch as far as if you'd retired today. Savage says, keep in mind that inflation will continue to work against you as you age. You need an investment plan for your savings that recognizes two things: the need for growth to outpace inflation on one hand, and the need for cash savings to give peace of mind. That's a personal equation, she says. Of course, many of these strategies need to be put into action before you retire. What should you do to stretch your savings once you actually retire? Decide how to take your distribution. Shelly Ann Iwaka, Director of Financial Planning Strategies, a financial services company, TIAA, says deciding how to take your distribution is an opportunity to set up a lasting framework for your retirement. A lot of people don't focus on how to make the money last. They just see a big amount of money in their account, she says. It's important to set up a plan that will help you make the money last. Doing so will mean evaluating each of the options and the rules for taking distributions on your accounts, beginning with your 401k. Iwaka says there are usually five options for taking these distributions. You can take the minimum distribution each year. You can roll your money into another retirement account like a Roth or an IRA. You can take a lump sum. You can take periodic withdrawals at your discretion. Or you can purchase something like an annuity to give you a fixed income. Iwaka rarely recommends a lump sum and says most retirees prefer something stable, like an annuity. You want about two-thirds of your income needs in retirement to be covered by lifetime income. Some of that will be Social Security. Very few people are fortunate enough to have pensions. Most people don't. So the rest of the two-thirds needs to be the rest of your retirement. That's how you determine how much to annuitize. Annuities are a favorite among financial advisors because they're similar to an annual income you were used to during your career. When you buy an annuity, it will be calculated based on your life expectancy and the money you have saved, giving you the right amount to spend each year while ensuring the money lasts. Reframe your spending habits. Annette Hammertree, a retirement income certified professional and owner of Hammertree Financial Services, Crystal Lake, Illinois, cautions spending your money in retirement can feel more precarious than while you were working. Knowing the money is limited is key, but appreciating the fact that without allowing it to cripple your lifestyle is a tricky balance. If I retire and have $2 million in my portfolio, I have to separate myself from the net worth or assets, she says. Having $2 million means nothing to retiring. You now have to forget that you have $2 million, and now you have to say, I have $80,000 annual salary. You have to live on that income and nothing else. You can't invade the $2 million. If you want a new car, take a vacation, you can't go back into that $2 million pot. It's about understanding the assets are no longer an asset to use. Spending within these confines can help some retirees feel trapped. You're also being held hostage by the assets, Hammertree says. If you can only live on 4% of that income, then you're held hostage by all of these rules of thumb. When you're having guaranteed forms of income or annuities make it easier or not, worrying about running out. In other words, here's a good chance you won't feel completely comfortable knowing you have one large nest egg that has to last the rest of your life. Having a pot of money is great, but understanding how to utilize it and balancing risk of running out versus being comfortable is key. Of course, making an investment will last. Investment last will come down to budgeting. A budget is absolutely essential in any stage of your life. Long-term health care insurance. Another way to make your money last is to protect it from some of your biggest expenses you can reasonably expect in retirement. For that reason, Savage is a big proponent of long-term health care insurance. It's a point in our life none of us want to get to, actually, but the cost of long-term custodial care can literally wipe out a couple's retirement savings. Paying for long-term insurance policy will ensure your other investments remain intact. Savage suggests buying a combo long-term care policy and a life insurance policy, which will pass any unused portions of funds on to your beneficiary should you pass away without having used the long-term care policy. Consider a part-time job. Many retirees soon find that they're missing having a job, or at least the responsibility, engagement, camaraderie of working in a setting. Some find that while they don't miss the work, they do miss the steady paycheck. If you're struggling to make ends meet or looking to fill your days, consider taking a job or easing gradually out of your current career to keep working in retirement. Many individuals are staging their retirement instead of stopping. 100%, Hammertree says. Some are changing careers or just working part-time. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you enjoyed it. And be sure to listen next time. I'm Jenna Walker, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.com.